Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And there are a lot of stories in the news that amaze me. I will never forget the whole Unabomber experience. Do you remember when that sketch came out?
Of Weird Al Yankovic.
It was totally Weird Al in a hoodie.
Yep.
And then when Ted Kaczynski was found...
Looked just like the sketch, didn't he? It was uncanny.
Looked nothing like the
Amazing
sketch.
Amazing how they nailed it.
We talked to Ted Kaczynski's brother. Do you remember that?
The Unabrother. We talked to him.
And the brother actually tipped authorities off to...
Without him, I don't think they ever catch Ted Kaczynski, right?
I agree.
I don't think so.
And on the line with us right now, Emmy Award-winning director Greg Yatanis directed and produced over 200 hours of television, including some of the top series over the past two decades. And the reason we're talking about Ted Kaczynski is because Manhunt Unabomber is hitting the airwaves on Discovery. How are you, Greg?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's a pretty amazing story. I totally remember this, the Unabomber Manifesto. I don't know how much you heard, but we did speak to Ted Kaczynski's brother, and his brother was instrumental in helping him be caught.
Yeah, well, that's this, you know, tonight's episode actually centers on the whole David Kaczynski role in that. And it's funny, just as I was on hold, I heard you talking about the sketch. And we go into the story of why the sketch doesn't look anything like Ted, which is, you know, again, one of those stranger than fiction yarns that you know, populate the whole series. I mean, every time we were interviewing people, we were always shocked at the twist and turns this case took. That I think if we actually wrote it or created it in a fictional series, people would think it was a bit over the top. But you know, when you hear the story of why the sketch doesn't look like Ted, I think you'll be fascinated.
I can't wait.
And I'm very curious to hear how David reacts to it. You know, we feel we portrayed it accurately to the, you know, the early interviews David gave and, you know, the narrative that developed as the story unfolded.
Greg, I remember when we talked to David, and this was a little over a year ago, he said that as time went on and they would give little bits of information out about the Unabomber, and at that point, his brother was under... There was no reason to believe that his brother could have had anything to do with this, but he would just say to himself, boy, that sounds like Ted. That sounds like Ted. That sounds like Ted. And then it finally in his head, he's like, it has to be him. All that stuff just doesn't add up, and it's got to be him.
Yeah, Linda, you know, both in the interviews and, like I said, the early interviews, you know, we noticed, you know, once you back 20 years and you see the narrative of somebody's story, you know, that story develops over time and becomes, you know, the early impressions become a narrative of, you know, and they were very invested in, you know, protecting Ted and keeping Ted from being found guilty and put to death. So, you know, which you can't even imagine. I'm very, very close with my brother. I can't even imagine, you know, having to be in a situation where, you know, you're coming forward on that. But Linda, you know, we try to really focus in on Linda's role too, who was, you know, the one that really
that's David's
really
wife.
David. Yeah, David's wife, convincing her, you know, David that this was, you know, this was her brother and these writings were similar to her brother. So,
and that's weird too, because when you think about it, it's like an in-law going, I know your brother, you love your brother, but he's kind of a whack job. It's like you wouldn't believe it at first.
You wouldn't. No, of course. Like, who would? Who would? And why? You know, like, why? I mean, it's like winning the lottery. I mean, it's such a strange, like, crazy thing that of all the people this person is, he turns out to be your brother. And, you know, you've obviously got your own impression of your brother, you know, in not this week's episode, but the following. You know, we show Ted's relationship with the librarian's son. You know, he was the local librarian's son's math tutor. So everybody saw a different side of Ted, and you know, most people were, you know, understandably shocked that that was him, that he was behind this. And I think no more shocked than the FBI was that the person they couldn't catch for 17 years had no electricity and no running water, and you know, managed to evade capture for 17 years.
Greg, would you put Ted Kaczynski in that bracket of people where they always say there's a fine line between being a genius and a complete lunatic? There's an eighth of an inch between those things. Would you throw him in that category?
100%. We drilled it down that there's a fine line between inventing the iPhone and becoming a Unabomber.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's it's right there. I mean, you know, and episode 6, which is coming on next week, you know, really delves into, you know, the weaponizing of Ted Kaczynski and the irony that the government created the very person that they were looking for, and really the, you know, the real life creation of a supervillain. You know, this is someone that was weaponized and became who they became through a series of betrayals. And when you're already operating, you know, at that place, that a lot of, and you see it more in tech, and you see it more accepted in tech, but you see it, you know, where genius has a difficult time connecting to people. And if you can, you know, if you catch that at the right fork, you can either, you know, things, events can happen that encourage you to go on and, you know, create good and change for humanity. And at the same time, you can see, you know, these geniuses are operating at a level that is something that, you know, that I don't, you know, I can't personally connect to, because they see the world completely differently and they see it much more unemotionally. And, you know, while people are out there creating tech and using their genius for that, Ted could see what tech was doing and it was making him crazy. And you combine that with, you know, repeated instances where he was socially alienated or betrayed, and then you start to see what formed and why.
Emmy Award-winning director on the line with us, Greg Yatanis. His latest project, Manhunt Unabomber, which is on Discovery. How many episodes total are in the series?
It's 8 episodes. It was over 7 nights because we made the first 2 into 1 combined episode. So, and, you know, and tackling all 8 of these, you know, is exhilarating, especially given the, you know, the deep dive of the research and the accuracy in which we're telling the story. You know, it's interesting to watch, you know, when you put, you know, 18 months of your life into something, you know, you try to imagine, you start to get a perspective of what it must have been like for these people for 17 years. What Janet Reno, you know, when you see Janet Reno's desk, you know, the Unabomber case was one of 10 other, you know, historic and significant events that were happening in the world at the time that was on her desk. Like, it's, you know, you find it to be a big deal, and then you're very humbled by what people really went through in the process.
Greg, do me a favor. Talk about the casting of Paul Bettany as Ted Kaczynski. I love Paul Bettany. I've never seen him be bad in anything, but I wouldn't even think of him for this role. Why is he so good at it?
You know, we made sure, we knew that we were going to do this standalone episode, which is coming next week, of Ted Kaczynski and going into the, really encapsulating his life into the episode of the major events that took place that shaped who he was. And, you know, we waited, you know, we had Paul in mind, you know, Paul had become available. It was an intriguing idea. I've been a fan of Paul's work. He's one of those people, there's like a group of actors where you feel like, you know, at some point I'm going to work with that guy. Mm-hmm. And you don't know why, you just feel like the path will align because you're artistically drawn to the same things or similar approach. And, you know, when we got Paul on the phone, you know, we made sure to have had episode 6 written and so that he could see it, because it was critical for us in the casting and especially for Paul that you're not coming in to play a monster. You're coming in to play someone that's, you know, complex and things are contradictory and it doesn't necessarily make total sense. You can kind of point to some things, but you're not delivering a clear cut answer as to why somebody is how they are, and which, you know, we felt was, you know, a very honest way to approach the material, and he grabbed right onto that, and it was great to have that conversation at that level and to attract him into that space. So at that point, you know, we were talking to Sam, and each was kind of influenced by the other and wanting to do it, so it was great because there was a mutual respect for each other's craft that ultimately, you know, helped push that over, as well as Andrew's writing, which is, you know, phenomenal, and Andrew wrote next week's episode and tailored that to, you know, the specifics where you're seeing what happened, you know, the empathy you put on that and what your takeaway is from that doesn't excuse what happened, but you'll come away with more understanding of why it took place. And that was something that I think really drew Paul. And, you know, I've had great experience with English actors. I just, you know, I love the training and the craft and the commitment of the craft and the kind of general like approach. And, you know, Paul works from a place of real joy. So, you know, our day-to-day on set was really great. You know, I had often been looking for that experience since working with Hugh Laurie for so many years.
Yeah, on House.
Paul fit right into that, yeah.
All right, we're talking about Manhunt Unabomber. It continues Tuesday, that's tonight, 10 p.m., discovery.com. You can find out all the information, and you can watch past episodes there, correct?
Correct.
All right.
And it's on iTunes as well.
All right, so Unabomber, I remember when this came out, I was confused as to why it wasn't spelled U-N-I. Why was it U-N-A? I can't remember that story. Can you clear that up?
Yeah, I was actually surprised, too, how many, you know, when I was following the live feed on Twitter, it was interesting to see how many people, like, always thought it was the Unibomber, like it was the singular bomber. But actually, the case where had this acronym called Unibomb was the case. And, well, you know, originally, you know, John Goldwyn and I wanted to, have the correct spelling of Unabomber, which is U-N-A-B-O-M, and then in caps, and then a lowercase E-R, because Unibomb was the case, which stood for University, which is the U-N, A for airline, B-O-M for bomber. And it was combined because his targets were consistently universities and airlines, all which represented what he was angry and frustrated and wanted revenge on. He also went after tech as well, people involved in technology or furthering technology.
If you ever do a miniseries, Greg, based on the history of the unicycle, will you spell that correctly or will you spell that incorrectly?
Yeah. I'm getting calls about that now.
I am just fascinated by all these things, and I have to be honest with you, as we were following it, you're very aware of it, and you kind of forget, and this was pre-social media, so we didn't have a ton of stuff going on. Can't wait to see it. I'm going to binge watch it, and new episodes Tuesdays, 10 p.m., Discovery Channel. Greg Yatanis, thank you so much. This is really exciting.
It was great. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Good luck with everything. It's Greg Yatanis, whose name I've recognized for years. I always read the credits of TV shows. He was a director on House for so many episodes and Lost and just so many great shows over the years.
I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, it looks really good, doesn't it?
And we'll find out once and for all why the sketch looked like Weird Al.
Yeah, finally.
Will they interview Weird Al,
yeah,
I wonder?
He does all the music for this. It's really fun. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.